Tonight, outrage over a bride-to-be killed by police after she called 911 for help. An officer shot her to death, and we don't know why. A deepening mystery and the demand for answers. A flash flood family tragedy, a birthday celebration when suddenly 14 people are swept away. Only three survived, and a search for a missing father and a new threat of potentially deadly conditions. Health scare, the GOP plan already in peril of going down to defeat, now delayed again as John McCain recovers from a serious operation. Will OJ walk free? A hearing so highly anticipated, it will be broadcast live. When he could get out and where he'd likely go. An inspiring America, a child of war and a twist of fate, turning an orphan no one wanted into a ballerina leaping past the odds. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Thanks for being here tonight. 2 days after her sudden and violent death, a family remains in search of answers as to how an unarmed bride-to-be was shot to death by Minneapolis police outside her home. The 40-year-old Australian woman had actually called 911 for help, only to be shot through the door of a patrol car by one of the responding officers. Police there are offering no explanation as to how and why it happened. And it turns out the police body cameras, which might have shed light, were not operating. NBC's Blake McCoy is on the story and has details.
Justine Damond, 40 years old and engaged to be married next month, tonight dead after calling Minneapolis police for help. Speaking for the first time today, her fiancé fought through tears.
The death of Justine is a loss to everyone who knew her. She touched so many people.
Her soon-to-be stepson by his side has taken to social media.
My mom is dead because a police officer shot her for reasons I don't know, and I demand answers.
Damond called 911 Saturday night to report a possible assault in the alley behind her home. Authorities say two officers responded to that call. One of them, identified as Muhammad Noor, fired his weapon, killing Damond. Officer Noor's body camera was not turned on.
When you hear that these cameras weren't turned on at the time, what do you think?
I have the same question everyone else has. Why weren't the body cameras activated?
In Minneapolis, all patrol officers are equipped with body cams. But unlike many cities where they're automatic, these need to be turned on manually. News of the shooting is making headlines back in Australia, where Damond is from.
She was treasured and loved. And we will really miss her. Dreadfully.
Friends describe her as a spiritual healer, seen in this video just 3 weeks ago.
Being thankful for this community.
As friends and neighbors continue to mourn outside the home she shared with her fiancé, one question still unanswered. How could this happen?
The state agency handling the investigation has not yet been able to interview the officer or his partner and will not release any more details until that happens. Officer Noor has been on the force for 2 years and tonight is on administrative leave. Through his attorney, he's offering condolences to the victim's family. Lester.
All right, Blake McCoy tonight. Thank you. In Arizona this evening, rescue teams are scouring a winding riverbed for a missing man under threat of the same conditions that killed nine others over the weekend when a fast-moving downpour sent a torrent into a usually calm river, trapping an entire family. The area is facing more potentially deadly conditions tonight. NBC's Miguel Almaguer was with the rescue teams.
It's coming right at us!
The rolling wall of water, mud, trees, and debris, triggered by a powerful monsoon.
Holy moly!
Barreling down Arizona's Verde River, an extended family of 14 waiting in a swimming hole had no idea it was coming.
They lost 10 people.
This video shows one person clinging to a tree. When search teams arrived, four were rescued, but nine bodies were recovered. The victims, 2 to 57 years old.
He has to be found.
27-year-old father Miguel Garnica is still missing.
He always said, I'm never leaving my children and my wife. He has to be with them.
Today, facing the threat of another dangerous monsoon.
We're going to follow this one down.
Search teams scoured the river.
We have spotters up above for all our safety issues.
The terrain here is unforgiving. Jagged rocks and downed trees everywhere. When the water was flowing through here, it was only a few inches tall. But after the monsoon, we're told the water level was at more than 10 feet high.
More storms rolled in overnight, dropping up to an inch of rain an hour. The victims never had a chance.
There was a small breeze that came up. The sound of a rushing type water, and by the time they turned to look in that direction, it had already hit.
Tonight, tragedy along the river, one of the deadliest flash floods in Arizona history.
The threat across this region is far from over. Monsoon season is just starting to heat up and could run through September. And authorities fear in the weeks ahead, more people will flock to creeks and riverbeds just like this one. And that could be another deadly combination. Lester?
Miguel Almaguer, thank you. Now to the new drama and uncertainty over health care. Senate Republicans have delayed a key vote on their revised plan to replace Obamacare while Senator John McCain recovers from surgery to remove a blood clot above his eye. As NBC's White House correspondent Kristen Welker tells us, in this battle, every vote counts.
Tonight, protesters looking to capitalize on the health care delay.
I can't go without treatment.
Dozens arrested on Capitol Hill, trying to block a bill they call dangerous.
Health care for all.
Feeling the heat, President Trump urging Senator John McCain to get better soon. The Republican stalwart had an unexpected surgery to remove a blood clot above his left eye, prompting leaders to delay a vote on the bill set for this week.
We hope John McCain gets better very soon because we miss him. He's a crusty voice in Washington. Plus, we need his vote.
There are concerns McCain's recovery could take longer than just the 1 week first suggested. Senators focused on their colleague's health tonight.
Seems to be a very successful surgery, but it was no small operation, so he needs to heal up before he comes back.
Without McCain's support, Republicans don't have enough votes to even begin debate. At the White House, a show of confidence despite the reality. Two Republicans already oppose the bill, and they can't afford to lose anyone else.
Given that you can't lose any more votes, are you confident this bill is going to pass?
We are confident that as we continue to message the American people the importance of repealing Obamacare and providing them with more options, that yes, we'll get this passed.
While some conservatives argue the current bill doesn't go far enough to repeal and replace Obamacare, many moderates worry it cuts Medicaid coverage, potentially forcing the sick and elderly to pay more.
The Senate effort in the GOP to repeal and replace Obamacare is at best on life support, but the time could be used to build some more public support.
Several Republican senators have voiced doubts about the latest health care bill, which is expected to be scored by the nonpartisan budget office tomorrow. Trying to lock up a win, the president will host a group of Republican senators for dinner here at the White House tonight. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thank you. President Trump today kicked off his Made in America week to promote U.S. manufacturing. It was the president's America First messaging that helped him win the election. And while some recent numbers have shown his overall approval rating at a record low, a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll reveals his support remains strong in counties that voted for him last year. NBC's chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson went to a Trump county in Michigan to find out how the president's latest message is being received.
At the White House, President Trump's focusing on what got him there, jobs and manufacturing. Showcasing products made in all 50 states.
Made in the USA. We're going to start doing that again. We're going to put that brand on our product.
But on Made in America Week, critics counter the president never put his money where his mouth is while running his own business.
We know that almost all the products that they sell are imported from abroad. So it'd be nice to see him lead by example there.
The White House argues President Trump's trying to roll back stifling regulations, part of a manufacturing message that plays well here, just outside Detroit.
When I hear Made in America, I hear Made in Michigan, I hear Made in Macomb County. Mm-hmm. That's what we do here.
It's counties like this one, Macomb, that NBC News has now analyzed, more than 400 in all, places where President Trump either really surged compared to Republicans' 2012 performance or places he flipped altogether, turning them from blue to red. These are the counties that fueled his win. And right now, half the people who live there like how he's doing. His 50% approval rating in those counties is 10 points better than his performance nationally.
So far, he's done what he said he was going to do.
But there's a twist to this story. The president's support is slipping from where he was in November. Dave Pelter is now cooling on his candidate.
I'd probably give him a B. And that might be going a little too far. But
common critiques include too much action on Twitter and not enough on health care, with Russia a wild card. Chad Selweski has covered politics in this county for 3 decades.
For some people, they're saying, when are we going to see this change? When are we going to get what we voted for?
6 months in, a question of patience for this president. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Warren, Michigan.
Tonight, O.J. Simpson is back in the news nearly a quarter century after the trial and the courtroom verdict that gripped the nation. All eyes will be on Simpson in a courtroom again, this time to see if he'll be set free after the robbery case that landed him behind bars. NBC's Joe Fryer has details.
For the first time in 4 years, the public will get to see O.J. Simpson when his parole hearing is broadcast live this Thursday. Another must-see TV moment for the former football star, who brought the country to a halt with his infamous Bronco chase and then again with the not guilty verdict during his murder trial. Now age 70, Simpson has served nearly 9 years for the robbery of two sports memorabilia dealers at a Las Vegas hotel.
I am sorry for what has happened.
Like he did in 2013, Simpson will tell commissioners Thursday why he thinks he should get parole.
I gave him my word that I would try to be, or would be, the best prisoner they've ever had here. And I think for the most part, I've kept my word on that.
Simpson will be joined by his attorney at Lovelock Correctional Center, appearing by video conference before parole commissioners 130 miles away.
They're looking at the particular crime at issue, the severity of the crime, victim impact.
The board plans to make its decision Thursday, and if Simpson is paroled, he could get out in October.
The last time this parole board looked at O.J. Simpson, they granted parole on several charges, which means he's got a good shot of getting full parole.
Friend Tom Scotto tells NBC News if released, Simpson hopes to move back to Florida. Effley Bailey was one of Simpson's attorneys during the 1995 murder trial and last spoke with him in 2008.
I'm sure he'd like to play a little golf. And I'm sure he'd like to find some means of employment.
A couple of recent award-winning TV programs are proof that fascination with Simpson remains high. Come Thursday, the world will be watching again. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
Police in Indiana have issued a new plea to the public to help solve a double murder mystery. They've released a new sketch of a man suspected of killing two teenage girls in February. And investigators believe one of the victims managed to record the killer's voice. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
Tonight, police hope this new composite sketch will help lead them to a killer and solve a disturbing double murder mystery that has gripped Delphi, Indiana.
It's not a cold case. This case is still very active.
Investigators say more than 18,000 tips have flooded in, and they've interviewed 1,000 persons of interest. This abandoned railway bridge is where 14-year-old Liberty German and 13-year-old Abigail Williams disappeared back in February. Authorities soon released chilling audio from one of their cell phones, recorded around the time the girls vanished. A man's voice saying, "Down the hill." The phone also captured an image of a man walking near the hiking trail.
This horrible crime has torn a hole in our families.
The girls' families devastated when their bodies were found in the woods nearby. Police now hope the new sketch, side by side, will offer a clearer picture of the suspect, believed to be between 5'6" and 5'10", with reddish-brown hair.
We want people to call in and give us information.
The reward for information leading to an arrest now topping $230,000 as the mystery of what happened to two young girls deepens. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
There's more to tell you about still ahead here tonight. Dinner wars. Amazon taking on those ready-to-cook meal delivery services like Blue Apron. But is the online giant's reach getting too big? Also, the video warming so many hearts, a brave dog leaps into the water to save another member of the animal kingdom. Stay with us. Tonight, another indication from Amazon that it's determined to be a dominant player in nearly every corner of the e-commerce and delivery service world. The company hinting at plans to enter into the ready-to-cook meal delivery service like Blue Apron that's become so popular in recent years. But is Amazon getting too big? Here's Tom Costello.
It was news that sent Blue Apron stock into a 10% slide today. The upstart meal kit delivery service likely to face competition from internet gorilla Amazon.com, which just registered a trademark described as "We do the prep, you be the chef." Exactly okay. The service that made Jennifer Rosenberg a loyal Blue Apron customer.
I can't even begin to guess how much time I'm saving and aggravation.
The Amazon footprint is growing by the day. Last week's record-setting Prime Day, bigger than Black Friday. Now opening new brick-and-mortar stores, planning to buy Whole Foods, reportedly considering the pharmacy business. And then there's the Amazon movie studios.
They want to be as your all-inclusive, one-stop shopping for everything you buy and consume and watch and listen to.
But for companies like Blue Apron, Amazon is also a very real threat.
Just have to hope that you don't wake up in the morning and see somebody Amazon has decided to get in your business.
Amazon's $13 billion deal to buy Whole Foods will require federal regulatory authority. Already, a large grocery workers union is warning that automation could cost jobs, though Amazon denies that. But for small startups like SimplyGum.com, the Amazon marketplace is a boon. Sales soared 180% on Prime Day.
It's because it's a way for us to access customers who we otherwise typically wouldn't be able to access.
But with a $1,000 stock price, billionaire CEO Jeff Bezos has the access.
Most companies, especially larger companies, give up on things too soon.
And seems determined to dominate the way America shops. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Up next here tonight, how Britain's youngest royals are spending summer vacation. Hollywood is mourning the loss of one of the great versatile actors for more than a half a century, Martin Landau, the Mission Impossible TV series star, who had a prolific career on stage, TV, and the movies, earning particular praise later in life in Francis Ford Coppola's Tucker, The Man and His Dream, Woody Allen's Crimes and Misdemeanors, capped off by winning an Oscar for playing Bela Lugosi in Tim Burton's Ed Wood. Landau passed away on Saturday in Los Angeles. He was 89 years old. Britain's royals arrived today for a visit in Poland. They left the plane with Princess Charlotte in Kate's arms and Prince George, who turns 4 on Saturday, walking beside Dad William. Poland is the first stop on the royals' goodwill tour of the European Union amid tense Brexit negotiations. And the video of the day comes to us from the Long Island Sound here in New York. A golden retriever named Storm out for a walk when he spotted a struggling baby deer in the water, jumping in and dragging the fawn to safety. The deer ran back in the water, but by that time, rescuers were able to grab her. She's now recovering at an animal rescue. What a good dog. Up next, against all odds, how she rose from an orphan of war to star on the stage. Finally tonight, before she became an acclaimed ballerina, she lived in some of the toughest circumstances imaginable. But her determination and some twists of fate helped her defy the odds. NBC's Kate Snow has tonight's Inspiring America report.
Michaela DePrince was born in the midst of a civil war in Sierra Leone. She lost her parents at 3, was abandoned at an orphanage, and labeled the devil's child because of a skin condition.
What were your chances for success in this world?
For success, there was none.
She witnessed so much horror and was almost killed herself.
I felt very much alone. I really wanted to die.
But there was one random moment that changed everything.
A gust of wind blew a magazine up against the gate outside the orphanage, and she found it. This is a copy of that magazine, and the image of a ballerina on the front cover gave a desperately sad orphan something she'd never had before, hope.
It's not just the fact that she's a ballerina, it's that she looks happy, and I wanted to be happy.
You knew you wanted to adopt.
Thousands of miles away in New Jersey, Elaine DePrince and her husband decided to adopt the girl no one else wanted. Michaela showed Elaine the magazine she had saved.
I couldn't believe that I had adopted an orphan from Africa who wanted pointe shoes.
Michaela spent years working to become a professional ballerina. And at 22, she's now a soloist with the Dutch National Ballet.
I'm known for being one of the highest jumpers. 'Cause a winner
don't quit. Beyonce handpicked Michaela to choreograph a dance for the Freedom video.
Is there anything that you would want to say to Michaela's birth parents if you could?
I think I would like her mother to know that she has made something of herself. She saw her child as looked down upon. This child has risen from that.
And still rising. Kate Snow, NBC News, Amsterdam.
What a beautiful outcome. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.